Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 115 of the podcast. A little bit different, a little throwback today. We're going to do a little mixing it up. All right, hang in there in the start of the podcast and I'll tell you what we're talking about. Hope you all had a great Mother's Day weekend. Fantastic time to be alive. It always is. It's great to be a Hawkeye. Sit back. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in to the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. As I mentioned in the intro, fantastic day to be alive. Now, it's Sunday. You're not going to hear Kevin or Drake's voice. In the current moment, you will hear circa 2018 Drake and Kevin in just a second, and I'll explain a little bit about that here after I get through a few things. But welcome in. As I said, hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend. I know I did for sure. And here's what's going to happen for episode 115 of the podcast. The walk-ons have been in a bit of a slump, all right? We've had guests lined up for the last three weekends in a row. As you guys know, avid listeners of the podcast, we record both of our episodes on Sundays. That way we have them recorded, and we can get Monday and Thursday's episodes ready ahead of time, yada, yada, all that. Well, for the past three Sundays in a row, our guests who... we locked in and said that they were good. They all had something come up. So we've audibled the last couple weeks. We don't want to throw an episode together. We've had a little bit of response of, hey, if you don't have an episode planned or something goes wrong, just don't put out an episode. I don't want to go that far because I do want you guys to listen to something. But we're not going to try and bullshit through 30 to 60 minutes of just talking when we don't have any new football stuff to talk about and we don't have any... new current event stuff that you guys care about. We can only talk and let Drake give you guys COVID advice so many minutes before you guys just turn us off forever. So real quickly, again, happy Mother's Day to all of the amazing women out there in Hawkeye Nation and everywhere. Great day to celebrate our moms, our sisters, any mom in your life who has done... an incredible job of raising you or raising your child or your kid. I am several years away from my wife being a mother. That time is closing in soon. where adulthood is coming and full force, and you know, I can't wait for that. But happy Mother's Day to everybody. I want to tell a real quick story about my mom real quick, just to kind of stay with the theme, and give you guys a little bit of content that's related to Hawkeye football as well. This, and I know I suck at telling stories. Y'all tell me. I get it. It takes forever. I'm going to try and cut it short. Back in 2013, before I came into the program as a freshman during that first camp, I was not with the Hawks for the summer. I was a long snapper, walk-on. Casey Kreider was going to be the senior starter, and that was that. The Hawks really weren't worried about it. And so I did not play or come in early in the summer and train and do all that with a bunch of the other guys. However, Casey was obviously in there. Marshall Kane, Mike Meyer, they were all in Iowa City, had been, because they had already been in the program, and they were doing work in the summer. And Casey Kreider, being the guy that he is, this kind of speaks to Casey and my mother, but Casey got a hold of my number from the coaches, texts me in the middle of that summer. I had not had any contact with any of these guys yet, and out of nowhere, he goes, "Hey, what are you doing today? You should come snap with us." I'm not even sure that at this point it was, like, technically legal. I was literally like, can I even do that? At the time, I had no idea. But I was like, okay, like, when are you guys doing it? Like, he's like, we're doing it today. A couple hours from now, we're going out to snap and kick, and you're going to be here in the fall, and we need you to do it. And my mom, of course, aside from all the other things that she's done in my brother and I's life, to just taking us all over the Midwest playing basketball tournaments and baseball tournaments and taking me to snapping camps and all of that, along with my father. My parents just gave us everything. They're both teachers, and so the summer is their time off. And so a day in the summer, like, now that I'm an adult and I understand what work is, and when you have your days off, you want to have your days off and not have unexpected things come up. My mom, of course, I was kind of hesitant. I was like, I don't know. He wants me to come snap and do all this stuff. And she's like, let's go. Get in the car. We're going. And she's always just been 100%, let's go. Let's do it. You're not saying no. We're going to go take advantage of the opportunity. We're going to give you everything you can to succeed. And that was just another incredible experience. We got in the car, drove our ass to Iowa City. I snapped with the guys for literally like 45 minutes, and we drove 2 hours back to Marshalltown. It was something that I obviously remember. It stuck with me, and it was great. But I am going to take you guys into a previous episode that we had recorded. So what we're going to do is take you back to episode number 3. Of the entire podcast. It's called Drake Puts Nebraska in a Body Bag. It's our still to this day most listened episode. It was the first episode we had to go over 10,000 listens and downloads. Still get tweets about it to this very day when people find the podcast. Drake goes off on Nebraska. Kevin has some really good conversation in there. And we're just going to lead you in to about 5 or 6 minutes into that podcast. And so you guys have something to listen to. Maybe you haven't checked this one out in a while. It's a very entertaining one that we put out way at the beginning. Other just cliff notes and kind of housekeeping things. We're going to have a merch line for the summer dropping with tank tops. We mentioned this before. That's going to be coming in about 3 weeks, hopefully the end of May. We put some information out on that. As always, rate and subscribe and like us and review us on all the apps. It helps us continue to grow and make this content. Again, the guys apologize. We wanted to knock out a Mother's Day episode, but the holiday kind of got in the way, and so this is what we're hitting you with. If you do not want to listen to an episode from previous, then turn it off right now. Otherwise, if you want to listen to episode number 3 of the podcast, maybe you picked us up somewhere in the 50s or the 60s and you haven't listened to the first 50, this is an opportunity to do that. It's one of our best episodes ever, and we hope you enjoy it. We will be back Thursday, if all goes to plan, with another episode, and we hope you guys have a fantastic week. As always, Hawks by a million. Have a day. Yeah.
a little bit of talk about the previous game, which was Indiana. I just want to throw something out there. For all of you that haven't bet on the Hawks the last 2 weeks and have listened to the podcast, what the fuck are you doing?
I told you. I try to tell you. Both of them were slam dunks. Literally, the ATM where you don't have to put your card in. You just punch the number in that you want, and it comes out. That's what these last 2 weeks were. I told you on the podcast. You all listened. And if you didn't bet it, then you really lost out.
Yeah. Drake, here's the thing. Bet it?
You said what?
Did you bet it?
I did. Yeah, I got 500 on the Hawks both weeks. Yeah. And what do you know? They didn't let me out.
And here's the thing. You might have thought it was a joke the first week, but then we came back and we said it again. If you aren't seriously – I mean, yes, at some point we're saying Hawks by a million. Yes, that is a phrase that we're using. But in legitimacy, you should listen to us probably more than anyone else you know if you're going to actually seriously put money down on the Hawkeyes or not. You know, we kind of know what we're talking about. We know the people who play. We know the situation. So listen to us this week when we tell you what to do betting-wise for the Hawkeyes. I believe that the line is down to 9. Am I correct? Does anybody know?
Yes, I believe it opened up at like 13 and is down to 9.
It's been bet down to 9. People don't believe in the Hawks? What is that?
I think that's pretty disrespectful. 9 is disrespectful. Just seeing as what we did last week with 5 points and we beat them by like half 100 or whatever the fuck it was. And now it's 9 ball and we're at home and come on, man.
Here's what I'll say. Sometimes, and a lot of people on Twitter have asked about this. It's what some people like to call I don't even know what they call it, but we're playing Penn State, I think, in 2 weeks. Am I right about that?
Like a look ahead game.
Right. People think we're going to overlook this game. It's Maryland. They're 4-2. They're not bad. They might be 3-3.
No, they're 4-2.
So, you know, Hawks are supposed to win. They're at home. Big game in 2 weeks. Like, we're looking past them. And Vegas is smart, and that's probably why they set the line there. I don't personally think – this isn't even where I was going to take this. We weren't even going to open up with this, but now we're talking about it. So that's where we're going. 9 – I don't know.
I love it. I love the Hawks minus 9 points. Coming back home after 2 weeks, the way the offense and they is playing right now is like game. They're putting up points like it's fucking Madden.
So many points.
Yeah. Like, and they know that every game is like a must have. They know from now on that they kind of control their path to Indianapolis, but not really. And they just know that the only thing they can possibly do is win out. And as long as they do that, then they're in a really good spot to play in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, this team is on point focus-wise and just preparation. You can just tell by the way they play. They go out and play with a lot of confidence. And you can always tell, like, even in KS press conferences, like, when he starts to get, like, a special feeling about a team. Like, I feel like that's how the way he feels about this team. Like, these guys are on point. Like, I do not see them dropping, what'd you call it, a look-ahead game by any means whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I do think Maryland has a chance. Like, I don't think Maryland's bad is the thing.
They're not.
You know, like, you can still, you know, the Hawks could still win by 10 or, you know, 2 touchdowns and it be really close to that line and still play a good game against, you know, maybe Maryland's a good team. You're not going to blow everybody out like you did Indiana. The line is close. It's much closer than the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks were 100% for me, like 100%. I would still take the Hawks by 9 here with less confidence, but still a high amount of confidence. Just not as much as the Hawks by 5 at Indiana. Like, shoot me in the face.
I agree completely. That's 100% accurate.
When you have two tight ends that feel like you're like you went into Madden and you did create a player and you did two guys and for all you for all the have done this, you made him 6'8", 400 pounds, and 99 speed. That's the kind of control. Like, that's how confident I feel with this Iowa offense. Like, it's like every time third down comes up, I'm just like out loud, well, let's go to one of our tight ends here because that should work. I mean, it's like so.
Yeah, because that's
like
the best play.
It's automatic. It's automatic. I mean, I love it.
And let's talk about these two tight ends. Like,
yeah, okay, yeah, like, Drake, you have some thoughts on this. Drake, this is the first time we've been prepared at all, at even close. I should make this more professional, but I just don't care enough. I literally have a half a sheet of paper, notebook paper with a couple words on it. But as far as preparation, Drake actually came with something this week, and he's got a little bit of some. He told us that he has something to say about the tight ends and the offense, and we haven't heard it yet, so we all get to hear it here first. Drake, take it away.
Yeah, I would just like to put it on record as somebody who nobody cares about, but a few, you know, couple thousand of you guys tune in to listen to the podcast, which we really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah. I digress. Coming from me on record right now, Iowa is tight end U. And I don't know how you could possibly argue that. You know, we go back to 2013 and it's CJ Fedorowicz. We had a couple tight ends have some unfortunate injuries and weren't able to make it to the NFL. But then you've got George. Now you've got Noah and you've got TJ. And all of these guys, you know, CJ Fedorowicz had to retire because of concussions, but he had a very successful stint in the NFL. He had a great career.
Yeah.
And then
for sure.
You think about George. George is on top of the NFL right now. He's in the top handful of tight ends in the world.
He's literally and ranked then, fifth.
Yeah, there you go. And he's having a great season. He, you know, just compiling onto his rookie season, which was phenomenal. Now you've got two tight ends who, you know, in all possibility could go down as two of the best tight ends to ever play here. Maybe not the best, maybe not number two, but two of the best.
Yeah.
And they're here at the same time.
Yeah. We got them at the same damn time.
We've got them at the same time. And what TJ and Noah are doing for this program and what George, you know, did as well for this program for the future. Now all the top tight ends in the country are going to think about Iowa, and one of them is going to, you know, end up choosing Iowa. So every year from now on, Iowa is going to get one of the top tight ends in the country coming out of high school because he's coming to play for Brian Ferentz, the offensive coordinator, who just so happens to be the tight ends coach. So now the tight ends are coming in, and their position coach, the dude who wants them to get the ball, is the one calling the plays. And this is just and George and Noah and TJ, they all proved that this offense, I guess George didn't play for Brian, but you know, TJ and Noah, that Brian's offense is centered around using the tight ends and taking advantage of their playmaking ability.
Yeah, yeah.
All these high school tight ends are literally drooling over the idea of coming to Iowa and playing for Brian Ferentz, which is just so huge for this program.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt that, you know, Coach Brian is, you know, hey, I coached in New England for 3 years. I might have had a little bit of time on the field with Gronk, so I kind of know what I'm doing. The question is how did we get these two guys? How did we get to this point?
TJ's a small town kid out of Iowa.
I mean,
and
like,
Noah absolutely hated Nebraska. Good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good true. For good for him. He was smart. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, to be honest, who can blame him? Nebraska is just an absolutely shitty state in general. So
it's pretty bad.
Pathetic football program.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So we got, you know, Noah, clearly incredible athlete, just naturally. TJ as well. I mean, you put that together with a little bit of hard work. You put that together with Coach Brian Ferentz's offense. You put that together with a guy named Nate Stanley who can sling that thing.
He's a professional thrower of the football.
I mean,
in every sense of the word.
Every sense.
Not only that, I mean, like, he's got guys hanging all over him every game, and he's just calm. Just scanning the field, finds easily in the back of the end zone. God, I was excited watching that game.
That was an amazing play.
Here's the thing I also noticed, because Nate originally last year was us three know Nate's a quiet kid, but it's almost scary. It like scary good. The fact that this is a thing in his interviews with the media that come out and that, you know, when he talks at a press conference, he's much more comfortable, and he almost has this little swag to him where he's like, it's just there. Like the kid has it. The kid just has it. Nate, if you're listening, you have it. All right.
And Nate, if you're listening, when you get into the league and you sign that big ass check, play me in Euchre for some money because you're dog shit.
I can't speak to the validity of that, but, God, he is going to make a lot of money as long as he stays healthy. I'm not going to talk about him or Noah. Somebody wanted us to talk about him or Noah leaving this year. We'll talk about that towards the end of the year, because I don't want to get into it now. Plus, we have a whole lot of other stuff to talk about. But God, we got two tight ends. They get the Mackey Award this week, Player of the Week. Both of them, first time a single team has had two guys earn it together. I mean, like, what do you want? Nate Stanley, Offensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten. A couple other awards.
Iowa fans, enjoy them while you have them. Don't think about when they're leaving. Don't think about, oh man, you know, are they going to go get the money? Are they going to stay? Whatever. Just enjoy watching what you have, because it's not all the time that you get to see three guys, you know, or, you know, handful of guys with this much talent playing at the same time.
It's pretty incredible. Man, what an opening 13 minutes of this show. I feel good about it.
Yeah.
We got a lot more left. We still got 45 minutes left, maybe more. Who knows? Last week was week two.
20 minutes if your fiance has anything to say about it.
Yeah. You know, she's not a huge fan of the podcast. She hasn't listened to either episode. She told me not to yell. She told me not to yell. Like 20 minutes ago when I came in here to turn on the thing. I'm going to yell a lot. I'm going to yell a lot because I have energy and the Wash Up podcast is getting lit. All right. We're talking about everything.
Going back to the fiance thing, can we talk about a certain tweet from your fiance claiming that you're starting to be a little sympathetic to the Nebraska cause out there? Can we clear that up? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bullshit tweet. She's trying to cause some controversy. My fiance is, her whole family is from Nebraska. Her parents are from Nebraska. I have to go to Nebraska on all family. Like it's Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving's coming up. I'll be down in Beatrice and Wood River, Nebraska, and, other places that don't matter. You know, and I enjoyed the time with her, and I, you know, it's great, but what isn't great is their team. They suck ass.
They're the worst Big Ten team I've ever seen. I don't know how they pissed that game away, but it just proves that they're like destined to suck that bad.
Oh my God. It was so funny to watch that happen. You know, they blew another two touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, and the way they lost it on the last play of the game, I just started laughing my balls off.
It was incredible.
That was incredible.
I tweeted before the game, and here's where the actual phrase came from, because she did quote me right, but there's context behind it. I tweeted before the game something along the lines of, "I think Nebraska wins today," yada yada.
Wrong.
I had put it out there that I thought Nebraska was going to win. I thought they were finally going to get their win, because they've, you know, granted they've been bad the last couple years. They always play Northwestern tough. It seems like those two are becoming a bit of a rivalry. And they've had some really good games in the last few years, like a few overtime games, I think. I just, for some reason, had a feeling, I think Nebraska is going to win. And so towards the end of the game, I could feel it start to slip. Like before it even really started to slip, I had this bad feeling like, wow, I was seeing some things. It wasn't looking good. And I was like, oh my God. So as it started to go bad, something happened, and in the act act of trying to just keep my Twitter prediction good, we can't have that, as in, yes, Nebraska can't do that if my tweet is still going to stay good. But in the end, I don't give a shit. All right. I give zero shits. But yeah, she's from Nebraska, and we're split family, and it's tough. I'm sure plenty of you listening are in a similar boat, probably with Iowa, Iowa State, maybe some other surrounding schools. It's a tough one. But I mean,
as a man, how could you, you know, as a man, as a Hawkeye fan, how could you marry a girl that's a Iowa State fan? How does that ever happen? Like, how can you decipher that you're soulmates, but they like Iowa State? Yeah, I just thought about that. I never thought about that before.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think marriages end in divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably exactly why. Yeah.
For sure.
College football leads to divorce.
Speaking of marriage, I'm in the, you know, to go a little personal here. We're starting to finalize some plans for our honeymoon, and we get to go to Hawaii. So that's lit.
Can I come?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sweet. I was about to say, like, I don't know if I can stand up at your wedding, you know, with your wife being a Nebraska fan, but I'll come now.
That's good, because I asked you to be in it. So, but yeah, we're going to go to Maui. It's going to be dope. Anyway, we're going to get into some Q&A because we did last week. And it went really well for us. It provides a lot of conversation and I think some decent entertainment for those listening. And to those listening, thank you so much for making the decision to listen to us three. Similar to maybe my poor judgment in my two friends. We lost. All right. Sorry about that for all you listening. Again, this is a super low budget podcast, and I'm going to use this opportunity to beg for donations. If any of you would like to donate to the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, feel free on our Anchor page, or please, you can Venmo me, Tyler Kluver, accepting all donations now so that we can make this not a shit show and we can produce it every week.
Man, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we've had a couple donors already. We've had one, and we've had another subscriber, and we thank you. What I was going to say was we officially grew from week one to week two. In 1 week, from the upload to recording of week two, we had about 1,500 viewers, just short of 1,500 listeners out there. And this week, right before we hit record for this podcast, we were officially at about 1,800. So we got 300 more. Any growth is good growth. Still, like we said last week, that's incredible. We're so thankful that you guys are listening. And
if we get up to 5,000 viewers, we're going to post a picture of Drake in a Speedo.
Wow.
Deal. And there you go. If 5,000 people listen to this podcast, I will gladly get in a Speedo on the internet.
Great. So now that's out there. to be honest, if we grow a little bit and this thing kind of takes off and we can kind of put a little more into it, we meaning Drake, Kevin, and I have discussed the idea of t-shirts. We might make podcast t-shirts. We might, you know, just to interact with you guys a little more, we could do something like giveaways, shout outs, stuff like that. There's a whole lot of stuff we can do with this. But right now, for the moment, we are about as low budget as it comes, both as people and as a podcast. So anyway, moving forward, thank you all again. What we were going to get into next before the Q&A was a topic that Kevin suggested about talking. It deals with the NFL, and we're going to talk about – well, let's talk about our guys in the NFL first, because we got a lot of guys right now balling out. Mainly, you know, Monday Night Football just finished up 2 nights ago at the time of this recording, and C.J. Beathard just out there.
Balling. Absolutely balling.
Now, he didn't have a great end of the game. It was the A-Rodge effect. Clearly Aaron Rodgers is a legend. I mean, that guy,
he led a team to score 40 points.
Yeah,
you can't really say much. He led the offense that scored 40 points. So
he wins The thing with Aaron Rodgers, I think, and it's at least for me, you can tell. And I think to a certain extent, Nate Stanley has a little bit of this on a college level, not nearly the level that A-Rodge does. But when a quarterback, because they always zoom in on their face, you can see the emotion. When they start to get really comfortable and they're just out there like they're taking a walk, like that's what Aaron Rodgers looks like all the time. Like it's just – he's just playing catch, and it's so easy. And that's when you got to be scared. Like that's – as a defense, you better be scared. Hopefully Nate Stanley progresses and becomes Aaron Rodgers-esque because –
He may be a little more Big Ben than Aaron Rodgers.
What'd you say, Kev?
Imagine potential future Nate Stanley versus C.J. Beathard, Monday Night Football.
That would be so sweet. I mean, I think it has the potential to happen, too. I mean,
that
would be incredible.
Drake, you were right. I tweeted out when Nate made that play to Easley the other day, Nate Stanley equals Big Ben because he's so big. He's so big.
So strong. He's so stoic in the pocket. He doesn't really like to move around that much and run because he trusts his arm. He knows he has a rocket or like a rocket launcher for a right arm, and he's just going to throw the ball over the yard. That's Big Ben-esque.
Anyway, we mentioned George earlier, and now we're talking about CJ. We got a lot of Hawks just doing their thing out there. Like the Hawk. This is one of the things. This is another recruiting point too, coming out of high school for Iowa recruiting is. We're like a top – I don't know what the number is. There's always a graphic that comes out where Iowa's like top five in turning in most draft picks or whatever, most starters in the NFL. I don't know what it is, but Iowa is up there. We're top like 5 or 10 in the country for producing NFL talent. And a huge part of that is Coach Doyle. But also a huge part of that is just the kind of people we recruit. Like we don't recruit sissies. Like if you're not going to make it. It's just not going to happen if you're not like a hard ass, you know? And that's why people like CJ and George and Yanda and other people make it. Josie Jewell, like it's a breeding ground. And I just couldn't be more proud to sit back as a common man and watch some legends of Hawkeye football duel it out on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and probably every other day of the week. When the NFL, decides they need more money. But,
hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
It's so incredible though to know that you're friends with some of those guys and you shared the same locker room and the same sideline and now they're out there doing that. It's really pretty cool
for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think to myself every time I'm like watching NFL. I'm like, I either played against or with like half at least 10 guys on this field right now.
It's incredible.
It's incredible, and I'm just sitting on the couch in my underwear. But like, anyway, yeah.
Wow, what a sight. Anyway, yeah. Moving on to the next.
I gotta say something real quick. Like, just the brand that Iowa has developed in the NFL is like just the hard nosed, tough veteran guys. Mm-hmm. It's something to be so proud of. Like, so many other schools like obviously have the talent, but those guys like burn out real quick. Like when Iowa sends their guys to the NFL, like they last.
It's for good. Yep. It's for good. It is. I mean, I love it. It's just something to, it's just one more thing that made being a part of Iowa and Iowa football just so incredible. Kind of to go with the NFL, this is the thing that Kevin wanted to bring up. Nick Bosa, I saw a tweet about it. Nick Bosa decided that he got hurt, right? And this is why this isn't a thing.
Yeah, he got hurt a couple weeks ago.
And is he a senior or is he a junior?
He's a junior who still has a red shirt left.
Okay, so he's a second, third-year player?
He's like a 21-year-old kid.
He's a third-year player who's a good D-end. He's a good D-end. He plays for Ohio State. His brother, we played against his brother. You know, he's an NFL prospect. He's going to be in the league, but he got hurt and has decided to, from what I saw,
just stop playing.
Yes. Essentially not worry so much about getting back for Ohio State, but just worry about training for the offseason and once the end of the season comes so that he can train for the draft and train for the NFL.
I think we're going to take over from here.
Yeah, Kevin, you can take over.
I think we're going to have differing opinions on this. I think this is going to be a good discussion because I'm pretty sure we're going to have differing opinions.
Yeah, I think we're going to have three.
Drake, I'm guessing you're on the side of Nick Bosa here.
Of course, but I want to hear what you have to say.
I think we're going
to have three. Can you imagine a bigger fuck you to your teammates than that? They named him a captain going into this year. They are in the pursuit of a national championship, and he's going to just abandon his teammates halfway through the year. We're not talking about skipping a meaningless bowl game here. We're talking about skipping half the season, potential Big Ten championship, and potential college football playoff. And he's like, fuck you guys, you're on your own.
Okay, before Drake comes in, because I'm not really on one side or the other. I see both sides, and I'm also just in general probably the least confrontational person of the three of us. So I'm going to let YouTube kind of go back and forth on this. I will say this on the side of Kevin. I mean, you're right. They have a serious chance of making the national championship. They're a really good team. They got a lot of talent, like always. They haven't messed up yet. They're 6-0. It's in their hands. They control their own destiny, and it's a huge decision. I also get the fact that. When you see
he's a top 10 draft pick and he doesn't want to worry about his draft stock falling. But like I said, he has a senior year if he were to get like hurt again, which, you know, he's got a sports hernia, which those are not that serious injuries.
Yeah, we've had a
bunch of guys, you know, and even if he were to get like hurt again, he can redshirt again. Even if he does get hurt again, his draft stock's not going to fall that far. He's a top 10 prospect.
Yeah.
NFL like GMs salivate over the genetics that this guy was born with.
Yeah.
And he's really not risking anything if he were to finish playing out this year.
I will. Yeah. Drake, I'm going to speak to what probably Drake is going to talk more to. I'm going to feed him over to it. The other side of it is of course the money, and it's hard to turn down millions of dollars. And for some people, maybe not as logical or whatever, you know, holds you true to your university. Some people might not be like that. And to be honest, a lot of
I'm
people.
Not even talk-
what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, like a lot of people don't feel affinity as much as we do to Iowa. And they don't feel, you know, it probably does make them a little bit of an asshole. But maybe they don't feel as much affinity to their teammates or much accountability to helping them. Go and do that, and at a place like Ohio State, when they're always in contention, it sadly probably isn't as important to them, big games like a Big Ten championship or the football playoffs, as it is to other places like it would be at Iowa. So when a kid like that sees the green in front of his eyes, you know, you see it all the time. Kids, they chase the money. Drake, go for it.
Yeah, no, one second. Like, I just want to say, like, I'd feel so sorry if that's the way he feels about his teammates and his program.
It's different for sure.
I'm not even asking him to walk away from the money. I have no problem with kids leaving after their junior year, but to just up and quit and walk away in the middle of a season, I think is complete bullshit.
Yeah. Drake?
All right. So I've got a lot of points here. The first point I want to make is about his connection and his, like how much of a Buckeye he truly is. I don't believe that Nick Bosa went to Ohio State to be a Buckeye. I think Nick Bosa went to Ohio State because Joey Bosa went to Ohio State. Nick and Joey wanted to play for the same university again. And Nick Bosa is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You know, he doesn't have a connection to the Ohio area. You know, he's in Columbus to play football. That's it. Secondly, I know just as well as anybody knows how quickly things can change for you in football. Like, one play, boom, I broke my leg. You look at Drew Ott, one play on a punt block or on a punt safe that he wasn't even trying on, tears his ACL. His ACL doesn't heal right. He's never the same player again. Like, things can happen so quickly. So maybe we don't know the true extent to Nick Bosa's injury, or maybe, you know, he hasn't recovered great from the surgery so far, and he realizes there's, you know, several weeks before he's going to feel 100%. We don't exactly understand where he's at in his recovery, where he was at with his injury, things like that. And for a guy like him, you only get one chance to play in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, you get one chance to get drafted and things like that. He has the opportunity to be a top 10 pick, like you said, and have life-changing money immediately. As soon as he signs his name on the dotted line, his life is set for good. Because as long as he's smart with it, he has a role model like his older brother, who, you know, has done this for a while and can teach him how to be smart with his money. He has this opportunity in front of him that is just, it's unbelievable. I can't speak to it because obviously none of us were in this position, but it's got to be the most incredible feeling in the world knowing this is in front of you. And, you know, he may be turning his back on his teammates, like you said, a little bit. I agree. And it's not a move that I would do because obviously I can't put myself in his shoes. I'm not that talented. And I did have a very, very, very strong connection with the University of Iowa growing up as a kid, 40 minutes from here. And so we can't really put ourselves in his shoes. All we have to understand is that he got hurt in the year that he was going to the NFL, period. He was not sticking around another year, and he wants to make sure that he is in the best possible shape for the rest of his life. He can't base a decision for the rest of his life on the feelings of his buddies, who are still going to be his buddies, but maybe guys that can't exactly understand the shoes that he's sitting in. So that, you know, that's my point.
I'm not denying that this is probably the best move for him personally. I'm just saying, if you were to do that, Drake, I don't know how good of friends we'd be anymore.
Kevin is essentially creating another shirt idea. First we have Trace McSorley is a douchebag, and now it's fuck you, Nick Bosa. And I don't think it's the last of it. Kevin will continue to shit on people, well, for the rest of his life, but yeah, for sure on this show. I don't want to talk too much about that because we don't care about Ohio State, and what we do care about is you guys, the listeners. We're going to get into a little Q&A now. This first one is from Rob Pangburn. What are the best and worst game environments outside of Kinnick? Either of you.
Go ahead, Kev.
Best one was definitely the Big Ten Championship. There's never been a more energized stadium that I've been in my entire life.
I 100% agree. That's my
If we're going to go with like a straight away game.
I like Iowa State, but that's personal.
Iowa State's pretty lit. I also like Wisconsin. Both fan bases are just – they're just fun. They're really into the game.
Yeah.
Especially – I'm going to go with the Iowa State one because it's – it's an in-state rivalry, and
you walk into Iowa State, and I mean, it's just the rivalry. If I could choose one more game to play, I don't even know if it would be in Kinnick. I think it would be in Iowa State. And when we walk out down the side of the building, and the whole student section right there screaming "Fuck the Hawkeyes!" like nothing got me more juice than that. Nothing.
And then walking out with the trophy with their fucking tears rolling down their face.
I don't know if they realize that, but they are helping us juice up when they're doing that. And like it was like one of the best feelings I've ever had. Like that's the most adrenaline.
I'm right with you. When you walk out by the student section at Iowa State and they're cheering, "Fuck the Hawkeyes."
It's so lit.
Almost as good as walking out to Back in Black and
King. Seriously, it's close. It's super close. Drake, do you have a favorite, a best?
Since you guys took probably the two best ones, and you mentioned Camp Randall, I'll mention the fact that Memorial Stadium in Lincoln is a really fun place to play. And sure. It is, I like it as an environment. the most. You know, I actually might like this environment the most because of how much I love to troll Nebraska and Nebraska fans and anybody who affiliates with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Because, yeah, you know, they say that they sell out stadiums, but you see in the corner of their stadium that there's empty seats and that corporations just bought the tickets. So yeah, they like continue
boosters
this whole, you know, yeah, no, I mean, they just, exactly.
Yeah, that's the biggest horseshit shit of all time.
Yeah. They have the most horseshit record of consecutive games selling the stadium out because they don't sell it out, not even when we beat them. And then
the stadium is super nice, though. Like, I love this.
Yeah,
stadium.
It is. Exactly. It's an awesome stadium. It's a good environment. The fans do put on for a good environment. And, you know, I just love to troll that program so much that, like, when we get up, you know, say it was whatever it was, like 35-17, and then, you know,
150-0.
Yeah, it felt like we were up 75 ball. And I'm just standing up on the benches, throwing up the bones to the entire stadium because they are seriously the worst program I've ever seen. Like, they're so soft. Their players are
soft,
such pussies.
Soft.
It's like they're such a pathetic excuse for a football team. Like,
holy smokes.
You know, a bunch of like grown men, like they think they're grown. They think that they're meant to be something. And then they come out and put that product out on the field. And we just drag their ass up and down the field for four quarters and just let them know that they aren't shit. And then I get to look into the stadium, throw up the X's for who they think are the black shirts. But these fans and these players don't know shit about the black shirts and what it actually meant to be a tough physical football player. And I get to remind them of that when it's 55-17 on the fucking scoreboard. There is nothing that I cherish more. I relish the fact that I was able to troll that entire state, that stadium, and all of its players to let them know just how fucking pathetic they are.
Bro,
no one was happier than Nate Budgeta, though, when he threw up the crossbones. He said he went back home the week afterwards, and they were talking about him on the radio.
Dude,
that's how pissed they were about that.
Yo, speaking of Nate Budgeta, when we beat Nebraska, I think it was in 15 when we went undefeated. One of the times we beat Nebraska, he was in the front of the locker room afterwards, and it was like kind of for him. I don't know. It was like maybe it was last year.
It was last year. It was his senior year.
He cried, and I was got emotional for him. Like, man, that felt good.
Oh yeah, I can only imagine.
On the other side of that, what's the worst game environment? I think that's pretty easy. Purdue sucks.
Illinois. It had to have been Illinois 16.
Oh yeah, Illinois is awful. Illinois in 16 was clearly the worst conditions, but Purdue consistently. I said this on Twitter. They ride the line of violating hospitality guidelines, they stick you in a locker room that's worse than high school. It's incredibly bad, and the stadium sucks, and the fans don't show up, and I felt like I was playing like Mason City. No shots against Mason City, Miguel Rosinos and Mason City, but like I felt like I was just playing a high school game. Like, it was always bad. It was horrible.
But think back to Illinois 2016.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Like, I understand it was cold and
no
whatever,
one there.
But I mean, there might have been, besides the Hawk fans, if there were 2,500 Illinois fans there, I would be shocked.
Yeah, it,
like,
was, that's, it was bad.
The worst environment I've ever seen in a college football.
And honestly, the environment is usually not bad enough to affect the game. That day it was until Riley McCarron sparked us with the punt return for the touchdown. But until then, our game was directly correlative with the environment because no one wanted to be there. All right, next question. Thank you, Rob, for that. Speaking of the Big Ten Championship, which we just mentioned as the best environment that we've played in, we got a question about that, and this is a really good one. Maybe one that will hurt a little bit. From Marshall Hawk 1. Did the team ever recover from the 15 Big Ten championship loss? Media members chimed in at the time saying they never seen such a dejected locker room. Could that explain the Rose Bowl performance? Did you feel prepared going in, or was the team vibe about what ifs for the college football playoffs? So, I mean, immediately. I'm still not over the Big Ten championship.
I will never be over the Big Ten championship.
If there's one game that I take with me forever, it's that game. And the media members were right. Those who saw us after that game, like, I'm self-proclaimed really good at leaving my emotions just out of things. And if we lose, you know, you move on. If you win, great, you move on. I hurt after that game. And yeah. I still hurt talking about it. And I
just remember sitting in my locker just with my pads on for like a solid half hour before like even like going to the showers or anything. And like just guys like just distraught. Like we put everything we possibly could into that game, and to come up 20 seconds short or whatever the fuck it was.
Like, yeah.
Talk about getting stabbed in the heart, man.
Yeah.
I agree, Kevin. That is a game that for as long as I live, when I think about football, I'll never get over that one. And it's like, oh, the what ifs of the college football playoff. But aside from all that, the Big Ten championship, like as kids, we grew up dreaming yep. about playing in the Big Ten. We got our opportunity as high schoolers to come to the University of Iowa. We got the opportunity to get on the field in the Big Ten championship, the one game that no matter yep. what we thought of as kids, we dreamed about playing in.
And we all played in it.
And we all played in it, and we almost won the sumbitch. I mean, like Kevin
Josie
said,
Jewell claims seconds. To this day that what's-his-face was short on that fourth down.
Yeah, Cook.
Yeah. Guy's an asshole.
I believe Josie.
Yeah, I'm with Josie too. Do you guys think it affected the Rose Bowl performance? I'd like to say it didn't, but man, I'm
personally, I want to say no.
I'd like to think it didn't, but I'm not going to lie. We didn't stop talking about it or the what ifs.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's true.
Maybe
to like the point that he made, like, did we feel prepared? Yeah, we felt prepared. We practiced our ass off. Like
100%.
The coaches had, like, we had a game plan that we were all like set in. Like, we prepared just as well for that game as we did for the other 13 games that year. Things just get out of control, and
yeah.
No, it had nothing
it
to do with
the snowball effect.
Championship game.
Yeah, it was a snowball effect. We're going to move on because I don't want to be sad. I want to bring the energy back up.
Me either. That sucks.
Yeah, that makes me want to jump out of the Marriott again.
Yep. Yeah. There were. Yeah, probably.
Which Marriott? Which Marriott, though? There's several Marriotts
we can
jump out of.
I
went over to Clue's room after the game, and we were just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we peaked.
Yeah. That's the
that yep. night. Well, that night about, you know, 2 hours you know, earlier.
Yeah. Moving on. We'll do a couple more. Let's talk about the best bowl game experience we had and which bowl we wanted to go to that we didn't get to.
Okay. For me, the best bowl experience, it had to be the Rose Bowl. I mean, we were in Los Angeles and we were about to play in the granddaddy of them all. And that was just so cool for me. And getting to tour LA, I know a lot of people don't love LA, but I thought it was pretty cool. And just the fact that leading up to the game, we were getting prepared to play in the Rose Bowl. And that's just one that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl is cool. Like the actual Rose Bowl is cool. Los Angeles sucks. There's homeless people every fucking where, and it's a dirty ass city.
Yeah, I would say the Rose Bowl game just because of its history. Tampa was cool. We got to go there twice.
Yeah, I like the Alpine.
The bowl I wanted to go to was the Holiday Bowl.
Yep.
Me and Kevin so badly wanted to go to the Holiday Bowl, and we just couldn't do it. I wanted to go to San Diego. Personally, my dad got to play in the back-to-back Holiday Bowls in 86, 87. And so that's the one I wanted to go to. I mean, there's a ton that I wish we could have gone to, but if we had one realistic pick, it would be that.
I'm sure the Orange Bowl would have been nice if we won the team championship.
The Orange Bowl was mine. I wanted to play in an Orange Bowl so bad, like just watching – the Hawks that won that Orange Bowl, that it just looked so cool.
Yeah.
And that was just always one that I wanted to go back and try and repeat.
Yeah, it looks sick. All right. Here's a quick one. And this one was a funny one that I was thinking about earlier. And it's about homecoming. Let me find it real quick. I said I was going to be better about this week, but evidently not. It was something along the lines of, does homecoming affect the player's mindset for a week? And does the, you know, the Hawks are coming off of two scheduled homecoming games away, and now they're coming back to their own. And how does that affect the game? And I just want to ask the question, what is a college homecoming? What actually happens? I don't know. I was in college for five homecomings, and I don't know. I never attended one homecoming event. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge no. We have no affinity to
homecoming. A good question, because for someone who doesn't understand it, it has less than zero effect for me. I didn't even know it was homecoming some years when we were playing it. Drake, are you eating chips?
I might have just gotten some
garbage. Podcast?
Man, I'm hungry, dude. It's dinner time and I haven't made dinner yet. I didn't eat lunch. Listen, I'm trying to diet. So I lift fasted every day, because then, you know, when I lift,
I know,
it's going to be awesome, you know, and then doing a little intermittent fasting. And I've only eaten one meal today, and it was soup again. It was a chicken tortilla soup. Yeah,
dude, that sounds good.
Soup's a good meal. Okay. But anyways, so yes, I'm a little hungry. I'm eating Gardetto's. Sorry, but where was I at? Homecoming? No, not. I don't know what homecoming really is in college, except for an opportunity for the alumni to come back for a weekend and get back together, kind of like a class reunion, which is a really cool concept because, you know, here in a couple of years, we're going to miss each other too, and we're going to want an excuse to come back to Iowa City and hang out.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The reason I found out it was homecoming each year was when there was a timeout, like a break, like a commercial break, and they brought on like the homecoming court, or maybe that was halftime. And then I realized, oh, it's homecoming week because they're out on the field right now. And that's how I found out.
I found out when I read the program. I read the program before every game, even though it never changed. I always read it, but that's how I knew.
Yeah. We're going to end with one more. We're about 50 or so minutes in, and we still got to talk about some other things. We'll end with one more question. That last question was from somebody, and you're not going to get your name said because I couldn't find it on Twitter again, but thanks for the question. This one's from Ben Booth Ag Ed. Must be a agriculture teacher or something. Ben Booth asked, you talked about Josie Jewell playing Fortnite. So who was the best gamer on the team? Who thought they were the best gamer on the team? And what games became the most competitive?
It's got to be Miguel, right?
I'm out on this one. I didn't play video games anymore.
Drake's so not much of a gamer. I'm pretty into the gaming scene. I'd like to say like the most well-rounded gamer. I had to be up there. Like I had to be close. I play a lot of video games. I play Minecraft, Fortnite. I'll play Pokemon on the DS. I have a 3DS. I'm 24 years old. Yes, I know. Don't tweet at me. I will come back at you. Name your favorite Pokemon. Dragonite. Let's go. Anyway. best gamer on the team.
I can attest the amount of hours you put into video games.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the best either. Miguel Racinos is probably up there as well. He plays Dark Souls.
He's an elite Fortnite player too. Don't sell.
So I'm gonna come back around to it because obviously the most popular games are Call of Duty and Fortnite. I think Geno Stone was real good at Call of Duty. We had during our bowl prep last year, we do activities, team activities during the bowl prep. And one of them was we had an actual guy from, I don't know what company he was with. What company was he?
Activision.
Yeah. We had an Activision rep come and set up like a gaming tournament, setup in our lounge. And we had a team Call of Duty competition. And we had a couple studs. I think Geno Stone was one of the better ones, but there's definitely some others. Devontae Young thought he was good. He was he was trash. Fortnite is obviously the big game right now, and a lot of you out there are probably thinking, Jesus, they play Fortnite too. I can't get my kids off Fortnite, yada yada. It's a thing.
These dudes during the summer and during NFL training, they didn't do anything but play Fortnite.
For the spring,
squatting, let's squad, and they all day. I sat next to Ike Butker all day, hours and hours and hours a day while he played Fortnite.
Legitimately, we would wake up, we would train at 9 o'clock, we'd be home by 11, and from 11 to 11, we would just grind Fortnite. Yeah, a few meal breaks in between, but we basically just grind Fortnite, and got pretty good.
We got up to 15 wins in one day. So
yeah, we did. We hit 15 wins in one day. I've got I'm nearing in on 300 total wins. If any of you care, you don't. We'll wrap it up there for the Q&A, and we'll move on to our final subject of the evening, which is the Maryland game. We talked a little bit about it. Not really.
We talked about as much as we know about it.
Well, this was before we started recording. Here's the thing. We don't do a whole lot of research. As much as we are Hawkeye fans, we just played last year. Like, as podcasters, knowing that we're going to talk about this, we should probably come more prepared. But the off the cuff is just kind of our thing. And I think that's what you guys like. And so we're just going to go off the cuff. None of us really know a whole lot about Maryland. I saw some tweets that they have an electric running game, but it may be inconsistent. They have a couple good wins this year. They went to Texas when they were ranked and beat Texas. I don't know who else. I don't know who else they played. Again, research. Regardless, clearly the Hawks are favored, and so they're supposed to win, or they think that Iowa's going to win this game. So, not that that means anything, but Maryland is one of those teams where
those people are pretty good at their jobs.
Yeah, they're decent. They know what they're talking about. We played Maryland twice. Well, we played them all. Yeah, no, we played them twice, right?
14-15, yep.
Yeah, we went up there in 14, and honestly, we're in a game that we shouldn't have even been in because we played poorly, and we still had a chance to win. We should have won the game from the jump, but we didn't, but that's about the whole story of that year. Yeah, and then we played them in 15, obviously, and they came into Kinnick and didn't we give a bunch of points, Kevin?
No, the final score was like 30 to,
or it was like 20,
16 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Desmond had the memorable pick six for 82 yards or whatever.
Like, it was a kind of close game, but like it was never really like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, men's had the blocked punt. There's some exciting things that happened. Here's the one thing I'll say, and this is all I can speak on because, again, don't know a lot about their football team other than I think the Hawks should probably beat them. What we do know is that their program is having some issues, or they have had some issues of late, and that affects a football team's performance drastically more than most people would think. I don't know if they're veteran or if they're young. I will say this, they're coming to Kinnick. I know they don't want any piece of that, especially with how Hawks fans are
juiced up.
Yeah, are feeling right now, especially with how our team is playing right now. They don't want any part of that. Drake, what are you going to say?
I don't really have much to say except for Hawks at -9. You just have to hammer it. You just have to trust that this Hawks team is hot and they're going to stay hot. And in Kinnick, in front of a juiced up Iowa, you know, the Iowa nation, the Hawkeye nation.
Yeah.
They're just better than -9 there. You just have to trust it, hammer it. I don't know about putting the house on it in the pink slips. I'm confident in my Hawks now. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I would like to see it at like -7 if you're going to put the entire car in the house and your kids' college tuitions and maybe even your kids on the game. You know, at -9.
Could be.
At -9, hammer it, but don't, don't tear up the foundation over
it. Don't jackhammer it. Hammer it, but don't jackhammer it. I like the -9 line. I do think it's going to be a closer game. I think it's going to be right around there. I think the Hawks may win by 10. I think they cover, but win by 10. Like, I think touchdown and a field goal. Again, not going to give a score prediction because those are dumb as hell, but I think maybe about 10 points. I think the line is set really well right now. I don't know if I would have bet it when it opened up at like 13.5. I don't know. But
there's a reason it's 9.5
is a lot.
Yeah.
13.5 is a lot, but you know, Vegas set it there for a reason. You know, they, like I said, they're pretty good at what they do.
Yeah. And again, when you have Noah and TJ, you feel like you're on top of the world. And I just, it's great to be a Hawk fan.
I'm gonna say this and say that it's always smart to bet the hot hand, and the Hawks are fucking hot right now.
Yeah, they're on
this offense is rolling. Yeah. This defense is playing extremely well. We've been plugging and placing guys who are getting hurt, and you know, just next man up, and you're stepping up to the task. And you know what? I love the Hawks at -9. That being said, if I had kids, Drake, I would put them on the line. I love the Hawks. Hammer the Hawks. Hawks by a million.
I love you, Kevin Ward. You are the man.
Funny thing, Kevin might have kids. Who knows? Anyway. No, that's a joke, people. Don't take us seriously. Clearly. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. We're like 56, 50, I don't know, with the cut in there. I don't know. We had a technical difficulty, but that's going to wrap it up. We've talked enough for tonight. We thank you again for being here and listening to us for a third week in a row. It's amazing, man. We love the support. Next week is going to be an interesting edition of the podcast. It's going to be just Kevin Ward and I, Tyler Kluver, as we journey alone. Drake will not be with us. He has I think he's going out of state for a family event.
He's going to Disney World.
Yeah, he's going to Disney World.
Taking my goddaughter on her third birthday to Disney World.
What a guy.
Jake, you don't have to come up with an excuse. You want to go to Disney World, just go to Disney World, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Don't go to Disney World.
Say hi to Mickey.
I'm going
to
Disney World.
So you just get me and Kevin. So if you're a Drake Kulik fan, we're not going to bullshit you. You're going to get zero of that. However, we might talk shit about him. So
we are definitely going to talk shit about him.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the whole episode's about Drake, and he has to figure that out by listening to it later on. No, but we'll hopefully be able to provide you with some more entertainment. I think tonight was a vast improvement on the first couple episodes, at least what I feel. We're starting to get a little more comfortable talking to these microphones and producing some content. We love that you guys are listening. We will be back next week to talk about the Maryland game and then preview the big one, the Penn State game coming up after that. That's about it. You heard it here. Again, it's the third week in a row. Just for a reminder to bet the Hawkeyes. And if you don't, it's on you. Thanks for being here. That's about it. Have a day. See ya.
Go Hawks.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.